This National News Edition originates from VK1WIA and is rebroadcast throughout Australia and around the world under a common licence published on the WIA website. This WIA National News Service is copyright to the Wireless Institute of Australia, and rebroadcast is authorised only under the provisions of that common licence. WIA Director and Company Secretary Peter Cleave, VK8ZZ.
From Australia, this is the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
In WIA National News this week, WIA Director Lee Moyle, VK3GK. WIA Past Director John Williams, VK4JJW, pops in with the international news, and I'll pop in with a reminder for next week's edition of this news, because ALARA members will be delivering. But wait, there's much, much more in this edition of news from the Wireless Institute of Australia for this week, commencing Sunday, December 14, 2025, and I'm Editor Graham, VK4 Baker Baker.
This news originates from the Wireless Institute of Australia. Born to lead since 1910.
This is WIA Director Lee Moyle, VK3GK. The WIA grant scheme for 2025 has now closed, but the WIA will now be accepting applications for the 2026 affiliated clubs projects. The grant scheme is for providing funding assistance to worthwhile projects that are judged to be of benefit to the amateur community and are consistent with or advance the aims and objectives of the WIA as set out in the WIA Constitution. The scheme is open to proposals from affiliated clubs so long as the project is for the benefit of amateur radio, with the WIA contribution paid retrospectively on completion of the project or at an agreed project stage. Most importantly, the WIA will only fund projects that are in accordance with the strategic direction set by the WIA board from time to time. Club project proposals will be vetted by an assessment committee appointed by the WIA board. The committee's job is to evaluate project proposals based on its ability to meet certain criteria, which details can be found on the WIA website under WIA Grant Scheme webpage. I encourage all clubs to consider the financial opportunity that the 2026 grant scheme offers. The John Moyle Field Day rules have been updated and simplified. The WIA board thanks Alan Shannon, VK4SN, and Diane Main, VK4DI, for taking on the joint role of the John Moyle Field Day contest managers. Alan has done some great work updating the N1MM contest logger, John Moyle Field Day UDC, and it continues to be enhanced. The John Moyle Field Day is held over the third full weekend in March. The aim is to encourage and provide familiarisation with portable and field operation and provide training for emergency situations. The rules are therefore specially designed and focused to encourage field operation. It's a full worldwide contest for scoring. There are now eight categories with a separate youth overlay which applies to all eight categories. Included are 6-hour and 24-hour sections. Operation modes include phone, CW and mixed, that's phone and CW. Bands are 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, 10 metres on HF and 6 metres, 2 metres and 70 centimetres on VHF, UHF. And of course, no WARC bands. The new John Moyle Field Day rules can be found on the WIA website in the contest section. Now onto band plans, and the WIA board thanks Grant Willis, VK5GR, and the TAC team for their incredible effort in revising the band plan. The last major revision of the Australian National Amateur Radio band plans administered by the WIA was carried out almost a decade ago. At that time, major changes were mostly made to the 30-metre, 2-metre and 70-centimetre bands. With various changes to the amateur radio regulations since that time, including some spectrum losses and gains, it is now necessary to update the band plans to both reflect those regulatory changes as well as update them with information on current centres of activity. We have also used this opportunity to address many of the requests that have been received over the past 2 to 3 years for changes to various bands. Hayden Honeywood, VK7HH, and Grant Willis, VK5GR, recently held a well-attended webinar to highlight the process and changes proposed. The consultation closed on December the 12th, and the results will be released shortly. For now, 7-3 from Lee, VK3GK.
Who? Listen. Radio.
I'm Alec, VK2MV in Sydney.
I'm Kieran, VK3BTV.
I'm Peter, VK3BFG.
Bernie, VK4KX.
This is Ben, VK4YT from Tablelands Radio and Electronics Club.
It's Catherine, VK7GH.
Australiana. In June of 2024, a Victorian jury found Greg Lynn, a former Jetstar pilot, guilty of the 2020 murder of Mrs. Clay, but found him not guilty of murdering Russell Hill, Victor Kilo 3, Victor Zulu Popper. Forward 18 months and now Greg Lynn, known as the High Country Murderer, has had his conviction overturned. He'll face a fresh trial after a successful challenge against his conviction. Three appeal judges on Thursday found Greg Lynn, age 59, had faced a substantial miscarriage of justice and ordered a murder conviction be set aside. They found that the ex-Jetstar pilot's lawyers had proven a number of irregularities in Lynn's 2024 jury trial over the deaths of missing campers, Carol Clay, 73, and Russell Hill, 74. The pair had disappeared from a remote campsite in Victoria's High Country, where Lynn was also camping, in March of 2020. Lynn was remanded in custody and will face the Supreme Court for a directions hearing on January 28. His lawyers could apply for Lynn to be released on bail ahead of a fresh trial. West Australia Health is set to build a new statewide data platform and trial an AI system to optimise patient flow and bed availability. The data platform will be used to strengthen how patients are supported from presentation through to discharge, the state government said. Data from the platform will feed a live dashboard to give hospitals a clearer view of demand, capacity and patient movement across the entire public health system. Meanwhile, the AI system will be piloted at Royal Perth Hospital from winter 2026 to predict length of stay and streamline hospital workflows to improve bed availability. The AI pilot is backed with $700,000 in funding and will be delivered with the assistance of the Office of Digital Government. The AI technology will schedule key tasks such as medical imaging, laboratory tests, pharmacy medication packs, and preparing discharge summaries, helping hospitals to coordinate care more efficiently. If successful, there are plans to deploy the AI system at other hospitals. Samsung and 98,000 handsets with 000 call issues still active. Zachariah Kelly, writing in itnews.com.au, reveals that about 98,000 Samsung mobile handsets in need of software updates that will allow them to make emergency calls reliably are still connecting to Australian networks, the device maker has revealed. Samsung told the parliamentary inquiry into the September Optus 000 outage that 1.6 million devices had successfully been updated, but its investigations found a further 98,000 remained alive and active. Samsung Australia's mobile division, Eric Chow, told the inquiry that the phones can still make emergency calls on Optus and Telstra networks. However, he confirmed they have a firmware configuration that only allows them to use TPG's telecom-shuttered Vodafone-branded network to place emergency calls. Telstra and Optus networks, as of today, can actually still make emergency calls on those devices without the software update. It's only in incidents where there is no Telstra coverage, no Optus coverage, where those not updated devices would need to rely on the Vodafone 3G network, which no longer exists. Australian carriers shut down their 3G networks in early 2024. That means that if anyone in distress tries to use one of the 98,000 unpatched handsets to place an emergency call when Telstra and Optus mobile networks are not available, the call will not reach 000 operators.
We are VK1WIA. Now, international news.
Kolkata. Ham radio operators in Bengal have been able to facilitate the return of a mentally challenged man from Bangladesh to India. Sudam Hembram, originally hailing from Odisha, has been estranged from his family for 15 years. A non-governmental organisation based in Bangladesh that works in rescue and rehabilitation of mentally challenged persons had contacted Ambarish Nag Biswas of West Bengal Radio Club, an organisation of ham radio enthusiasts in Bengal, some days back, and informed that they've been spotting Sudam roaming aimlessly in and around Golabari station area for the last 8 years. PMR 446, the popular short-range UHF radios enjoyed in much of Europe, could be enjoyed much less in Germany after changes enacted by the regulator, BNetzA. The regulator will prohibit operators from using any external antennas with their radios and from using the radios as base stations. PMR operators will also lose the ability to use their radios as repeaters or as internet gateways, two functions widely available to amateur radio operators. The PMR radios, which operate on 16 frequencies within the 446 MHz band, will be only permitted to be used for so-called peer-to-peer or person-to-person mode. Last Friday, December 12, the Marconi Radio Club of Newfoundland, MRCN, and its sister club, the Poldhu Amateur Radio Club, PARC, in England, commemorated Marconi's first transatlantic wireless experiment in collaboration with the Institute of Electronics and Electrical Engineering, the IEEE, and hosted by the Memorial University's Johnson Geo Centre. This year was the 124th anniversary of Marconi's first transatlantic wireless experiment, and to mark this, a two-way radio station installed at the Johnson Geo Centre, a few hundred metres from the site where Marconi conducted his famous 1901 experiment on Signal Hill, sprung into life. They presented on Marconi and radio art and science, followed by a workshop where participants will be constructing crystal radios, then exchanged greetings with colleagues in Villa Griffone, Cape Cod and Glace Bay via amateur radio. In the afternoon, a direct two-way high-frequency radio contact with colleagues in Poldhu to receive the letter S and send radio telegrams from officials of the government in Newfoundland and Labrador, Memorial University and the NL section of the IEEE. NASA is once again offering the public a chance to fly around the moon by submitting their names for inclusion on a digital boarding pass that will travel aboard Artemis II. The names will be stored on an SD card inside the Orion spacecraft when four astronauts undertake the first crewed flight of the Artemis program in 2026. Yep, it is next year. Sign-ups and details are available at the link we like in the written word edition of this, your WIA National News. Whilst looking further than international, time on Mars runs slightly faster than on Earth, according to new calculations by NIST researchers who found that clocks on the Martian surface gain about 477 microseconds per day relative to terrestrial time. The difference arises from Mars' weaker surface gravity, highly elliptical orbit, and changing distance from the Sun and the Earth-Moon system, all of which alter the rate at which clocks tick under general relativity. Although the offset amounts to less than a millisecond per day, modern navigation and communication systems such as GPS and future Mars-based networks require timing precision far tighter than a microsecond. The effect is also not constant. Depending on Mars' orbital position, the daily time gain can vary by as much as 226 microseconds. As planning advances for autonomous rover operations, relay satellites, and eventual crewed missions, engineers will need to incorporate these relativistic corrections to prevent timing drift and data inconsistencies. Ashby and Patler's work, published November 1st in the Astronomical Journal, represents an early step towards establishing accurate and stable time standards for interplanetary operations. The Jordanian Special Communications Commission, SCC, was established in 1975 to plan, implement, and maintain nationwide communication networks for the public and private sectors. Recently, the SCC revived its close relationship with the Royal Jordanian Radio Amateur Society by allowing the RJRAS to set up a modern club station, JY6SC. This is one of many stations that will be established within the Jordan Armed Forces, as well as at universities and schools, to promote amateur radio. Here in Australia, ICOM has yet to officially release their price of their ICOM Mark II IC7300. ICOM UK have confirmed shipments of their new IC7300 Mark II have started to arrive in the UK. The company has also advised the confirmed RRP of £1,360, including VAT. Unfortunately, the first shipment of radios are pre-sold. Future deliveries are timed after Christmas. Route 66 and other roads of the USA. Edison Research's Share of Ear report for the third quarter of 2025 again brings good news for AM/FM radio, whether it's the medium's continued dominance of ad-supported audio media or its strength in vehicles. Arguably, the report's most important takeaway is how necessary AM/FM radio is to media plans focused on audio advertising. Edison shows that the unique daily reach of ad-supported Spotify, Pandora, and podcasts among persons 18-plus stands at 33%, just one-third of Americans. Adding AM/FM radio to the mix boosts that daily reach to 74%. Filling in for Jason, VK2LAW in Sydney, I'm John, VK4JJW in Redland Bay, Queensland, keeping it cool with some wonderful sea breezes.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. ARRL 10-meter contest is this weekend. 0000 hours Zulu, December 13 to 2400 hours Zulu, December 14. Maximum operating hours is 36. CW, phone, and on 10 meters only. The International Worldwide Naval Contest, also this weekend. 1600 hours Zulu, December 13 to 1559 hours Zulu, December 14. CW SSV on 80, 40, 20, 15, 10 metres. Yoda Contest, December. The Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club are hosting the inaugural VK Yoda Contest the entire month of December. Then just 3 days from the end of what we call the VK Yoda Contest comes round three of the Yoda Contest organised by the IAA Region 1 Youth Working Group, in cooperation with the Hungarian Amateur Radio Society, December 29. A great way to gain extra contacts with the VK contest organised by Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club. Now let's open the DX window to the world. In the world DX, Elvira, IB3FSG, is operating from Somaliland as 603T. The duration of her activation is not known. More details can be found on QRZ.com. Listen for the special event call sign HS25SG from the 1st through to the 30th of December to celebrate the 33rd Southeast Asian Games. This activation is part of the SatFinder educational campaign, which promotes space, satellite and radio science to students and others by hosting amateur radio activities. John, NI6D, will be on the air as CE7-NI6D along the Carretera Austral in northern Patagonia from the 6th through to the 18th of December. John will be using FT8, FT4 on 40 through 10 metres using low power. Listen mainly during the afternoon and evening hours, his local time. Well, you may not work them, but you may hear them. Once again, Italian radio amateurs have been authorised to use the 40 MHz band until the end of the year. They are allowed to operate from 40.660 MHz to 40.700 MHz with a maximum power of 10 watts. The Italian regulator has also given permission until 31 December also for 70.1, 70.2 and 70.3 MHz. Well, as I won't get another chance before Christmas, Merry Christmas to all. For WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ, Inningham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Cole, VK3GTV.
Hello. First up in worldwide special interest groups, it's balloons. For 4 hours or so, the weather around Seabrook, New Jersey was big news, if not around the world, at least as far as Australia and Europe. You had to listen hard with special software on your radio receiver because the meteorological data was being picked up and broadcast from four high-altitude balloons carrying electronic equipment local middle school students made in their STEM club. And for those not at Woodruff Middle School or listening in to the broadcasts, the weather, November 19, wasn't favourable to using helium balloons, but the launch was still a success. STEM Club advisor Angela Metzger, a seventh grade math teacher at Woodruff, said that the long-range goal is to, one day, send balloons that will circumnavigate the Earth. And it does happen, Metzger said. It just hasn't happened for us yet. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Final Frontier. South Korea recorded another significant achievement in its growing domestic space program with the successful nighttime launch of the Korea Space Launch Vehicle 2, KSLV-2, also known as NURI. The vehicle performed nominally throughout ascent, completing stage separations on schedule and surpassing the 500-kilometer mark roughly 7 minutes after liftoff. Orbit insertion occurred approximately 12 minutes into the flight, followed 1 minute later by the deployment of CAS-503, a 500-kilogram scientific satellite designed for highly light-sensitive Earth observation missions. Following the primary payload, NURI deployed 12 CubeSats, 9 of which operate in the amateur UHF bands. Of these, 3 satellites were fully IARU coordinated. These spacecraft support amateur radio training, GPS RO technology demonstrations, and formation flying experiments. Europa Clipper heads out. The 6-ton, $5 billion spacecraft, now with recertified transistors, launches soon, but now delayed due to Hurricane Milton. Clipper is headed to Jupiter and its mysterious icy moon Europa for arrival in April 2030. At 30 metres wide, once its solar arrays are unfurled, Europa Clipper is NASA's largest planetary exploration spacecraft ever. 7 satellites were deployed from the International Space Station on December 2nd in 3 batches using the Voyager Space NanoRacks CubeSat deployer system. 5 of the deployed spacecraft, SilverSat, RHOKSAT, Content Cube, EagleSat 2, and 4S Prominio operate on amateur radio frequencies and represent a broad collection of university, student-led, and educational missions. SatNog stations scheduled more than 700 observations during the first 24 hours as the satellites drifted away from the ISS to form their initial orbits, requiring careful Doppler evaluation and coordinated tracking during the early identification phase. For the first time in its 25-year history, the International Space Station had all 8 docking ports occupied following the reinstallation of Northrop Grumman's Cygnus XL cargo spacecraft on the Unity module. The visiting spacecraft complement included 2 SpaceX Dragons, JAXA's HTV-X1, Cygnus XL, 2 Soyuz crew vehicles, and the Progress 92 and 93 cargo ships. Cygnus XL will remain attached until no earlier than March 2026, when it's scheduled to depart with approximately 11,000 pounds of rubbish for a destructive re-entry. Meanwhile, the Expedition 73 crew continued a full schedule of research activities as the newly arrived Soyuz MS-28 crew members began long-duration studies focused on human physiology in microgravity. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Internet, the HAMS domain. HAMSatting, a new multi-platform satellite tracking and logging application developed by USIF, A46UNX, has officially launched on the Apple App Store, bringing a consolidated suite of real-time visualization, path prediction, and operating tools to amateur satellite enthusiasts. The app tracks the ISS and more than 20 amateur satellites using an interactive live map with dynamic icons, integrated N2YO data, and improved reliability features introduced in recent updates. Additional utilities include smart notifications for upcoming passes, calendar integration, customizable satellite lists, and interface refinements aimed at streamlining portable operating and roving. While iOS marks the first full public release, beta versions are already available for Android, Windows, and macOS, with a Linux edition planned soon via unixear.com. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, IOTA, Islands on the Air. AU7RS team will be active from Akati Island, Lakshadweep Islands, IOTA AS011, from the 10th to the 22nd of January 2026. They'll operate on 160 through to 10 metre bands and QSL via M0OXO, OQRS. Lakshwadi Islands are an amazing archipelago hidden in the waters of the Arabian Sea. Worldwide special interest groups, low down. The World Heritage Grammaton radio station in Sweden is no stranger to celebrations, certainly not this year, as it marks its 100th year as a treasured communicator. Before its Jubilee Year activities conclude on the 31st of December, the radio station will once again engage in one of its most popular traditions, its Christmas Eve message, a long-wave transmission in CW. Here's our editor, Graham VK4BB, to tell us more.
100 Christmas Eves will have come and gone when the call sign SAQ transmits the Christmas Eve message from the Grimmerton radio station in Sweden on the morning of December 24. The operator will again be using the much-loved transmitter, which utilises an alternating current generator developed by the pioneering Swedish engineer Ernst Alexanderson. The Christmas Eve morning transmission will be sent on 17.2 kHz, about half an hour after the transmitter has been started up. It is a festive occasion on the radio station site itself, but for those who can't be there personally, the message can be heard on the air, of course, and seen on the YouTube channel of the Alexander SAQ Grimmerton Friendship Association. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
This is a Christmas gift to the world, as the association notes on its channel, pointing out that this is the only remaining electromechanical radio transmitter. Indeed, its continued operation is a holiday gift worth celebrating. Thanks, Graham, for that report. Worldwide special interest groups, military. Commemorating the 81st anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge during World War II, members of UBA Section Bruxelles EST are active as OR81NUTS between the 13th and 31st of December. The suffix of the special call sign, NUTS, is General Anthony C. McAuliffe's famous single-word reply, NUTS, in response to a surrender ultimatum from the attacking German force. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, video. ARIS slow scan TV event via RS-38S satellite. ARIS has announced an SSTV event that's been active through December 13th. Rather than transmitting images via the International Space Station, this event's SSTV images are transmitted from the RS-38S satellite, also known as Visard Meteo. Images utilize the robot 36 SSTV mode and transmit on 437.825 MHz. The series contains 12 different images and ran from December 4th through to December 13. Certificates will be available from the ARIS website. RS-38S is a 3U CubeSat created in part by students in Russia and was launched in 2023. For WIA National News, I'm Col, VK3GTV.
This is VK1WIA. All points of contacts from today's news stories are to be found in print when you read the web editions, www.wia.org.au.
It's a date, and clubs are welcome to email text with audio for this section, nationalnews@wia.org.au, and details of all WIA-affiliated clubs and societies can be found on the WIA website, including email addresses and website links. Now, the social scene that we've got for 2026, VK3, the Ballarat Amateur Radio Group's Hamvention, Sunday, Feb 1, VK6, Pargfest, Mandurah Bowling Club, February 7 at 9 a.m., VK4, the Red Fest, it's Deception Bay North State School, the venue, 9 a.m, April 11, and the WIA AGM, May 2, 2 p.m, Albury. Now, we've told you of that one for a while, but it's now coupled with the ICOM VK Summit 2026, the largest radio exhibition of its kind in Australia. When? 2 to 3 of May 2026, where? Albury, New South Wales, and it's free entry. You'll be able to meet the experts, see the technology, attend the tech talks. There's a VK Summit dinner with keynote speaker. There's a prize draw. There's portable operations, POTUS SOTA, WWFF, Parkfest, and ISS contact. And of course, as I mentioned, the WIA AGM. Now, bookings are open now for the ICOM VK Summit 2026. Go to www.vksummit.au. Now, till next we meet, I am Graham, I am VK4BB. Next week, the Alara ladies will be along with this, the WIA National News. Till then, walk softly.
From Australia, This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.